Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey, fam friends. Hey, Coach Chad Parks here with Coach P's Perspective, where we discuss coaching, inspiration, and faith. Today's message is Lessons from the Custodian. So for over a decade, here's how I started my morning as soon as I would walk into work. Hey, Rick, how's it going? Good, Coach. How are you? This was a simple greeting. This was an easy pleasantry to walk into every single day. But here's something I want to tell you. The man I was talking to made all the difference. His name was Rick, and Rick was our school custodian. See, I'm a school teacher, I'm a coach, I teach PE, and every morning, literally for over a decade, when I walk into the school, Rick would be right there by those doors, getting ready to work in the area where I came in. So here's the thing. Sometimes you meet somebody and you click right away. Sometimes you meet somebody, you get to know them over a span of time. Rick's one of those guys just easy to get to know, right? He's got a good smile, he's got a loving heart, and he's just a joy to be around. But, you know, oftentimes you walk by somebody and you have this little pleasantry, right? Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. And then you guys pass by each other. You didn't mean it. It was just more of a greeting. You weren't really asking a question. You were just in passing being kind. Rick's one of those guys that literally, like, he wants to, and he enjoys stopping and talking to you because he really wants to know how you're doing. He wants to know about your day. He wants to know about your life. And, you know, if you're in a rush, it's fine. You just go by each other. But there's nothing ingenuine. There's nothing fake about it. So every single morning when I walk into the school, I would see Rick. We would have this greeting, and the smile on his face, the tone of his voice, the way he spoke, literally it started my day off great. And whenever he retired, I missed that a lot. But whenever Rick retired, one of the things I thought about doing is I want to write something up for Rick. And I went back and I thought about all the things that I had learned during our many conversations over that decade. And it's crazy because I didn't realize how many things I had learned from Rick over that time, right? They added up slowly. But I want to share with you today a number of things that I learned from Rick. So I call this Lessons from the Custodian, right? So the number one thing I learned from Rick is this: build relationships. And for me as a coach, probably the number one thing I can do and the number one piece of advice I would give to any coaches is build relationships. But that goes beyond coaching. That goes, if you're a teacher in a classroom and you don't coach, if you run a business, whatever it is, relationships matter. God made us to have relationships with other people, all right? That's just how it works. Right now, we're in this COVID-19 time, and we're really seeing that. We're really feeling that, you know, as we are physical distancing. You know, we have social distancing, but thankfully, we can still connect other ways, video chat, things like that. But man, we're really feeling that. So build relationships. That's huge. Rick was a master relationship builder. If you were to walk around the school, you would see him talking to the principal. You would see him talking to the students, to the teachers. Everybody knew him by name. Everybody loved him. All right. Rick and I had multiple conversations. He may stop by, you know, the gym real quick to do something. And, you know, he was asking about my family. He genuinely cared. So because we built this relationship, I would do anything for Rick. I would help him any way I possibly could. And he would do anything vice versa, you know. Anything I asked Rick to do, come down and, you know, work on something in the locker room, whatever. I mean, he would drop everything in a heartbeat and come and do it. And I'll talk about that more in a minute. But, you know, I feel the same way about him. So we try to make sure that we took extra care of the gym and of the locker rooms so that he didn't have to work as much in those areas because he had a ton of stuff to do in the school. Whenever you care about somebody and you build relationships with someone, they'll go the extra mile for you. You'll go the extra mile for them. All right. And it's just a beautiful thing to have those kind of relationships. So having meaningful conversations, getting to know somebody, knowing their name, knowing about their family, those are all ways to be able to build relationships. And then making sure that you stay in connection. You know, and for me, it was nice because I could see Rick every day, right? Sometimes we have family, sometimes we have friends who live in other places. Time and distance separates us. It is our job to make sure that we are keeping connection going. Shoot them a text message. I set up a time to do a Zoom or, a FaceTime. And that's something that it's so simple, but because it's so simple, it slides right by us. All right. Those who are in our sphere of influence on a daily basis, it is not hard to continue to talk to them and keep a relationship going every single day. But sometimes maybe they were like your best friend in college. I have, you know, some guys that are great friends of mine. And honestly, we don't keep in touch enough. I love those guys with all my heart. And every time I talk to them, man, everything about it feels so good. So the relationships that you have right now, people you see every day, continue to build into those and keep them strong. And then the long distance relationships, we got to put some extra work and effort into those. And as you meet new people, work on building relationships. And again, let me go back. Coaches, teachers, businessmen, parents, that's kind of naturally built in. But man, build relationships is so important. And Rick was a master of that. Okay, lesson number two from the custodian. Take pride in your work. Rick took pride in everything that he did all the time. And one of the things that I often say is the way you do anything is the way you do everything. And Rick was meticulous about the way he did everything. So when he would start his work down there where my gymnasium's at, I mean, he would come in, he would sweep the gym floor in the morning. There was a time later he would come back and I would always hear something, look up, and you would see Rick and he'd be cleaning the windows. There's these little windows in the gym door. He'd be cleaning those. We have big tall windows on the other end, and Rick would be down there. I mean, you got to think about it. This is at a middle school, right? I coach at a high school, but I teach at a middle school. So there's lots of hands, lots of grimy hands that are all over these windows. And they were spotless on a daily basis because Rick took pride in his work. For us, that's what we got to do, okay? The way you do anything is the way you do everything. So we got to make sure that we make this realization. Little things add up to big things. If you let the little things slide, eventually there's going to be a big problem. It's going to equal a big result and probably not one that you want. If we take care of the little things, the things that, you know, maybe are small and significant, if we take care of those on a daily basis, we make those habitual, eventually they lead to big changes. All right, you want to change your diet or your fitness levels, okay? Slowly start to create great habits, get rid of some bad habits. Over time, eat better and better, work out on a consistent basis. These little things, not, you know, not drastic, but these little things that you can do every single day, and you turn around 6 months later, you're in good shape. Maybe you've lost weight, maybe you built muscle, depending on what your goals are. Okay, you're getting in better shape. So taking pride in the way we do everything, it starts with all these little things, which, you know, end up equaling big things. I want you to take pride in, you know, and I tell my athletes, you know, if I were to come in, like if I were to look in your room or in your car or whatever, I could probably tell a lot about you as a human being, tell a lot about you as a person. The way you do anything is the way you do everything. So if you're slacking in those areas, maybe why you're not getting your work turned in on time, you know, maybe why you're not progressing the way you want to. Now, I'm not saying you have to be obsessive compulsive. I'm not saying you have to be a perfectionist. People have those little personality quirks, me included. All right, for sure. You know, all my clothes are lined up by color in my closet and I like distance my hangers apart. I'm a little OCD like that. My wife is the complete opposite, but we keep everything picked up, try to keep it nice because we understand that is taking pride in every single thing that we do. All right, so that's lesson number two. Lesson number three, exhibit selflessness. Rick was one of those people that would absolutely go out of his way to help somebody else. He was a very selfless human being. So just an example, he might be down there working in the gym and then all of a sudden he gets a call over his walkie-talkie or they come over to the school intercom and they're calling him to like the complete other side of the building. We have a large building because a kid threw up or he's got to go open a locker for somebody. I never once saw him have a bad disposition on his face. I never saw his shoulder slump. Like he would literally be smiling just as much and be like, hey coach, I'll see you in a little bit. I got to go take care of this. And he would go with enthusiasm to do things that most people wouldn't want to do, but he was very selfless. You know, maybe I ordered some products or some equipment and you know, there were multiple boxes that came in. He would carry them down there, you know, and Rick wasn't real young. He already had a previous job before he became a custodian and he was very successful at that job. And then, you know, retired, didn't want to be bored, had a lot of skills with his hands, and he's a people person. So he came to work as a custodian and really excelled in that area as well. But, you know, I'm a strong guy. I'm a young guy. I have a lot of students. And, you know, we could go down and pick up these boxes, but Rick would just on his own, he would bring them down to the gym. Hey, coach, where do you want these at? He was very selfless, always thinking about other people first. You know, for us, that's something that we got to do as human beings. We got to think about others, you know, others first. Not always easy to do. Self-preservation. We see this a lot right now during this COVID-19 time. But those who can reach out and use their gifts and abilities and time and talents and all those other things to help someone else, that is huge. All right. I'm not talking essential or non-essential workers or whatever the government, you know, deems or job, you know, whatever. I'm talking about everybody, man. Everybody is an essential human being because everybody has gifts and talents and ways to help other people. And it takes a little selflessness to be able to get out there and do that. It's very easy to be selfish and think about yourself. You know, when I look back at my sports career, a lot of times whenever you're an athlete, you kind of roll in this selfish. And it's not even in a bad way, right? Because you want to be as good as you possibly can. So you're thinking about your eating and your training, and a lot of it is me focused. Now, I think that there are a lot of athletes today that are doing a great job of using their platform to help other people. But man, that's what we got to do. Okay. It can't, no matter what's going on, we can't just be me focused, me centered. We got to be, you know, think about ways that you can help other people. And if you're not certain, ask somebody. There are people that are so gifted. All right. I know people right here in the town I live in, Topeka, Kansas, who are just so gifted at rallying others to get together and go out and help people. They're being selfless. And so, you know, for me, when I looked at Rick, man, he was just a shining example of that. And honestly, pushed me every single day to want to be that kind of person. All right. So let me recap real quick. Build relationships, take pride in your work, exhibit selflessness. Number four. All right. We got five of these. Number four, your job doesn't define you. It can't. Like I said, Rick was successful in another career before he became a custodian. Then he was a custodian. He did a great job for us. But Rick knew who he was as a human being outside of any label. You know, a lot of times people ask us, you know, well, what do you do for a living, right? And then we tell them, or tell us about yourself, you know, hey, I'm married, I have children, and here's what I do for a living. Those things are all good. But a lot of times, and this goes a little bit deep, a lot of times we let things define us. Whenever I wrestled, you know, there were many times that for me that got out of balance. I wasn't keeping God number one. I was making wrestling an idol, and I got very out of balance, and it defined me. And here's the scary thing. When something like that defines you, it isn't uncontrollable. There are many things I could do as a wrestler, as an athlete to control, right? I could control my attitude, my aggressiveness. I could control how hard I train, but you can't necessarily control wins. You can just put yourself in a good position to win. So if you go out and you win and you know your sport defines you, awesome. But what about whenever you go out and take a loss? Okay. Your sport cannot define you in those situations. You know, there have been multiple, and so a few of them come to mind, but let's look at Tom Brady, right? Guys won multiple Super Bowls. Now, I remember after he won his first Super Bowl, later on seeing an interview, and he talked about how awesome it was, but then how hollow it was. You know, he ended up saying, like, is this it? Like, I worked forever for this, and it was my major goal, and there's got to be more to life than this. You know, Jordan Burroughs wins the Olympics in the sport of wrestling. Henry Cejudo wins the Olympics in the sport of wrestling. Both of them said the same thing. You know, Jordan said at that time he wasn't married, and he was like, you know, I came back to my apartment, and I had just won the Olympics, and my hometown put on a parade, and then my college town put on a parade, and there's just all this celebration. And then when everything kind of died down, it's like, I came back to my apartment, and I grabbed my Olympic medal, and I'm looking at it, and I just think, there's got to be more than this. I've worked my whole life for this, and it's not fulfilling, okay? Not that it wasn't awesome, it was, but there came to a point where he realized, this can't define who I am. I have to know who I am outside of this Olympic medal. I have to know who I am outside of just being a wrestler, because one day this will end. And then who am I at that point? All right. For me as a Christian, I think only God can fill that hole. I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, that's how I feel about it. But you cannot let your job define you. Okay. There are athletes who have taken losses and literally wanted to end their own life after that because it defined them so much. What about tough times right now, you know, as we're in this COVID-19, and maybe you're a small business owner, okay, and that has been your livelihood, and it means so much to you, and of course, you need the money to take care of your family, but sometimes people let their jobs define who they are, and then if they lose that job, they're crushed, and not even just financially, just as a human being, because that job has defined them for so long. So one day whenever I, you know, retire from teaching, one day whenever I retire from coaching, hopefully I've impacted a lot of lives and I've left a legacy, and I can't define my own legacy, it's up to other people, but you know, hopefully I've left a lot of lives impacted in a positive way, and then that will carry on and those lessons will carry on, right? Through my book, through this podcast, and through the people who I've got to work with over the years as a coach. But a couple years after I'm done coaching and teaching, the next generation that rolls through, they won't even know who Coach Parks is, right? So whenever you leave your job, somebody else is gonna come in and take your job. And one day, whenever we pass on and we move to the other side, somebody else will step into some of the roles that we did, may do it differently. But those who come after, Don't forget about who was there before. All right. So don't let your job define you. Don't let titles define you. Maybe you've been defined, you know, whenever you were growing up, maybe you didn't read well. Maybe kids made fun of you. Maybe some sort of label was put on you at school and that defined who you were. And then there was a point where you realized that's not me. I'm more than that. All right. Labels cannot define you in any way, good or bad. Whenever you truly know who you are, whenever you know you're a child of God, whenever you know you have gifts, talents, and abilities that you can go out and help other people with. All right. So your job doesn't define you. Labels don't define you. Rick was a great example of that for me. Okay. And then number five, leave a legacy of greatness. Again, your legacy is really defined by other people, but I think whenever you put your all into everything you do and you kind of go through these four steps I just talked about, hopefully you're going to end up having a really good legacy. All right. And so one of the things that Rick did that I thought was awesome, whenever he was going to retire, they brought in another custodian who was going to take his place as the lead custodian at our school. And Rick literally went through for like a week, maybe it's 2 weeks, and the guy shadowed him and went through his entire procedure every single day, every single day. Okay. And it was awesome to watch. And I would like look over and see him. And Rick had the enthusiasm of a first year school teacher. I mean, he was showing them the ins and outs, exactly how everything was done. All right. He was making sure that the next generation, the next person that was coming up, was placed into a good position to succeed. So for us, that's something that we have to do. Train up the next generation. Maybe it's not the person who'll be taking your job one day, because maybe you retire or you move on to something else and you don't even know that person, right? But let's train up the next generation. Whatever lessons, and you know, honestly, one of the reasons why I started blogging years ago, one of the reasons why I wrote my book, Game Changing Moves, why I'm doing this podcast, I've had a number of incredible coaches and teachers and mentors who have poured into my life. I've had four coaches that are in the National Wrestling Hall of Fame. Most people never even had one, you know? And for me, I'm like, wait, I should have been a better wrestler, right? So I was pretty good, but I should have been even better. But I've learned so much wisdom from these people. You know, the people I painted for and I mowed for when I was growing up that just poured into my life, elders that just poured into my life. I don't want all that wisdom to be lost. And I try to teach it to my athletes and to my own children, but you can only reach a limited group like that. So when I started blogging and all of a sudden my blog started to get big and a lot of people started to read it, and then I was able to put a number of those things in my book and the book became a bestseller. Okay. I want those lessons, not about me. I want those lessons to be passed on to the next person, and they can pass it on to somebody else. It can encourage their life. It can help them succeed. And a lot of those lessons are principle based. And the thing about principles is this: principles are principles and they apply everywhere whenever you know how to apply them. Right. So you could not believe in gravity, but go stand on a 10-foot wall and jump off and tell me what happens. You're going to fall. I don't care who you are. All right. You're going down 10 feet. So, but once you know that principle, then you're able to create airplanes because you're able to, you know, to understand gravity enough to be able to use it. Suspension bridges, things like that. There are all kinds of success principles. So when people have taught me these and poured into my life and I figure out what some of these basic principles are, I want to be able to pass those on. And for me, I think one of the greatest ways to pass them on is through story or through real life examples that have happened. Rick was able to teach me over a decade so many things, and he didn't sit down and say, hey, Chad, let's go over these. They were just in passing, nuggets of wisdom that came through, and then watching him as an example. All right. So for us, you know, let's go through and look at these one more time and do a quick recap. Lessons from the custodian. Number one, build relationships. Number two, take pride in your work. Number three, exhibit selflessness. Number four, your job doesn't define you. Number five, leave a legacy of greatness. Men, women, whoever's listening to this, this applies to every single area of our life. This applies to you as a human being, as a parent, as a husband, as a school teacher, as a doctor, every single area of life we can apply these principles to. I want you to think about some of the people who have been in your life, who have poured into your life, and honestly sit down, maybe just take some notes. What are some of the things that they taught you, and who can you pass that on to? Who can you teach? Maybe you have a big platform, maybe you don't. I don't care. If you can influence one person in a positive way, that is building into your legacy, because now that person can influence somebody else and they can influence somebody else. Now we're looking at the butterfly effect, and you can influence a lot of people over the long run. All right, so I'm going to jump off here. Thanks for joining this episode number two, Lessons of the Custodian. You know, Coach P's perspective is free. It's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. My boy Gerald Gray, a.k.a. Twish Phobes, he did the intro and the outro. Much love to Gerald and all the people who have poured into my life over these years. If you like these episodes, share them with somebody. You can send them the direct link. You can share them via social media. And then please, you know, give a review. They have, if you scroll down, there's a 5-star review area, 5-star review, and then write some of the things that maybe you've loved about it. Love you guys. God bless. And until next time, this has been Coach P's Perspective, and I will talk to you all soon.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.